We spoke about how that the foundation of everything is emuna. That everything stands on emuna, and that emuna is the beginning of everything. Just like Avraham Avinu was the beginning of the Avos, the beginning of Klal Yisrael. He's a person that has that has emuna. And the understanding of emuna is that really everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That there is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is good and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a fascinating book which I read, which is called Confessions of a Jewish Cult Buster. It's written by someone named Shia Hecht. It's a fascinating book. He's a Lubavitcher Chassid. And one of the things he did for a while as a volunteer was he would help people that had children that got caught up in cults, all different types of cults. And in this book, he writes all different stories of situations that he was in where with all the different cults, there's all these different like weird, you know, It was that a cult? I don't think Gil was in a cult. But I don't think that was a cult. Cults, like, there's a very famous cult. Anyone know about any famous cults? What? Lev Tahar? We're not talking about that type of cult. That's probably also a cult. We're talking about, like, Hare Krishna. You know what Hare Krishna is? Those are the people that shave their entire head and they just have, like, a ponytail out the back. That's a type of cult. Right? So there's all different types of cults that exist, and there are people that their children got caught up in these cults, and he went in to try to like save their children that they shouldn't get brought down. So there was one particular cult which is called the Cult of Bible Understanding or something like that. It's a cult. It's a Christian cult. And there was a Jewish kid that got caught up. He said that usually almost everyone he dealt with were people that did not come from Jewish backgrounds. Well, religious upbringings, I mean. Usually they're not from religious upbringings. Most of the people that are caught up in these cults are people that didn't really get a Jewish education. Because being a not affiliated Jew is very confusing. You know, the parents want you to like marry Jewish, but why? Just because? And they're like, you know, you have to go to Shul on Yom Kippur, but you don't keep anything else. And it's like very confusing. The whole like thing, like if you're religious, it's not really that confusing. Like some people might necessarily, you know, people might have issues because they have Yetzer Haras and stuff like that. But to get involved in cults is not really, most people that they that have a Jewish upbringing, religious education, I'm sorry, then they don't get involved. It's people that they're pretty much unaffiliated. This is the one case that he had of someone who was around 32 years old, and he had yeshiva background, and he got caught up in this cult of, like, Bible understanding cult, whatever it is. It's an interesting book. I think I lent it to someone in yeshiva and never saw it again.
He joined the cult.
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway, so what happened was that Shia Hecht's father had a radio show, and on the radio show he was saying, I happen to have a son that helps people whose children get caught up in cults. If you have any help, you can just contact my son. This is his phone number. Someone had heard the conversation. This yeshiva guy, I think, himself heard the conversation, this guy that's in the cult, and he felt like he was struggling himself with the situation. He called him up and says, I feel like that's a sign from God, and he talked to you because I'm like all confused, and I'm really, you know, I'm like very, like, you know, I feel like I can't get out of this, because the way it works with cults is that you almost feel like you can't leave. So Shia Hecht agreed to have a meeting between him, the minister, and this Jewish kid that's caught up in the cult. And there they are. They're going to meet together and they're going to have a debate. So what happens is they sat there together and they were in this neutral's place, whatever it is. And Shia asked him, he said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the devil? He said, of course there's a devil. He says, and you believe that the devil somehow like escaped from God and therefore he's wreaking havoc and doing all different types of terrible things, and we have to try to avoid the devil and try to, you know, wait until, like, you know, the devil gets reined in. And he says, yeah, that's the belief, you know, that's Christian theology, that the devil somehow like got out of heaven or whatever it might be, and he's doing all he does. So what Shia Hecht says, it sounds to me a little bit ridiculous, and because if God is omnipotent, God is capable of everything, God is all powerful, so then how can the devil escape God? It doesn't make any sense. He said, we believe that the devil is actually a emissary of God himself. He's God sent the devil. The devil is actually was created by God with the intention to do what he does. The devil's actually good. The Yetzirah is really good. That's what we believe. As a matter of fact, the Medrash says, "Vayara Elokim es kol asher asa v'hinei toiv moed." We spoke about last time toiv moed being sickness and like things like that. There's another Medrash says toiv moed is Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah, what's the word you said for toiv moed? Is better than it. We would think Yetzirah is bad. He's the devil. He's not. He's good. What does that mean? So the Mepharshim explained as follows: the Yetzirah is supposed to be there. Yetzirah is supposed to tell you, come on, you don't want to go to Mr. Fad, it's boring, Rabbi Center. I mean, you know that stuff already. And anyway, I'm hungry, lunch wasn't good today, I'll go next week. And that's the Yetzirah. He's doing his job. That's his job. And that's good. That's good if you decide to say, you know what, I'm going anyway, I don't care if he's boring, because I want to be there to show him support, because I want to be Yeshiva Bacher, or whatever reason you want to be here. Okay? That's choosing the right thing to do. Now, if you choose that way, the Yetzirah just gave you an opportunity to overcome him. So the Yetzirah is good. What's bad might be your decision to follow the Yetzirah. But Yetzirah is over here and he's trying all different types of trips. Tell you to do this, get you to do that. That's great. You know why? Because every time you overcome the Yetzirah, what do you get? More schar. So the Yetzirah is really good. Everything's good. That's what a person understands. That a person understands that that really everything that a person has in his life, everything that happens to him, is good. Now, we have a hard time with that. There are many things in our lives that cause us frustration. If a person really had emunah, he would never be frustrated. Right? Some people, lamashal, the people that, I remember one time I was sitting on this bus next to this guy. He looked so cool. He was like one of those really cool macho guys. Just he had no hair. You know, he had like just very thin strands of hair. I was like, poor guy. You know, he's like, he's so cool, but he's just not anymore. You know, like no hair. Like, poor guy. He probably tried the toupee or something. It wasn't working for him. You need to have something on your head to be able to hold the toupee down or whatever. You know, poor guy. Right? So, like, a person is like losing his hair. He's like very frustrated with the fact that he's losing his hair. It's very frustrating for him, right? But he realized that everything is from Hashem. Lose your hair. It's also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything is good. Any frustration that we have about anything, right? A person has sustains an injury. It's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Could be frustrating. I have a very, very weak ankles. Anyone that's been in yeshiva long enough will know that. Before I guess you guys came, I tore my ligaments in my ankle last year, and I broke my ankle a few years ago. And I always have issues with my ankles all the time. It can be very frustrating, and especially when you know when you have to walk slowly. I like to walk fast, and I'm like, and it cramps my style. But that's all from my coach. It's all good.
Is the actual thing good, or is the effect of it good? Meaning, is it the fact that
I have it is good for me?
Because of the effect of
it,
is the actual thing good?
So good. What? So we'll have to get to. We're going to try to get into that. Okay, we will try. But
getting frustrated means a lack of emunah.
Yes, getting frustrated is a lack of emunah. Now, again, you know, not all of us expected to have perfect emunah all at once. But frustration means I feel that something is going wrong here. I don't like the way this is going. I want it to go differently. That's what frustration is. But a person realizes it's all good. So then it's all good.
Pastor Shiva last week, he said, I should ask again.
Yeah.
That he said last week that if someone gets upset or angry about something, it's a lack of emunah.
Right.
So I asked Rashida, I'm saying, can't always be happy, but
you could always be happy.
I'm saying if someone dies,
death is the one exception to the rule. Death is the one time where we give room for our velus. Death is the one thing that's bad, because death is God didn't want death in this world. Death was Adam HaRishon brought death through his chet. So death is the one exception to the rule. But aside for that, I give you an example. This happens to me all the time. I'm in a rush to go somewhere. I go out to Kikar Zivil. I want to get a taxi, and you could wait there like forever, and I'm going out of my mind. I'm like, oh man, I gotta go. I'm late, and but why is the taxi not coming? Because Hashem doesn't want the taxi to come. It's all good. it's all good. Take it easy. This is the way it's supposed to be. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why he doesn't want me to be late. But he wants me to be late for some reason. There's someone where I'm going who I'm not supposed to see. Or something that's supposed to happen over there that it's not supposed to. I don't know what the reason is. But whatever reason is good. Don't get frustrated. Everything's working exactly the way it's supposed to work. Everything's falling into place. It's perfect. The classic example, which we all, maybe, I don't know, I assume you're all familiar with, is what happened, you know, there was a person who was on his way to work in the morning, and someone asked him if he could come in and help be mitzvah to a minyan. You know the story? And he was like, I really gotta go, I gotta get to work. He's like, we have 9 people, we need one more guy, can you please come in? He comes in, there's only 3 people in the room. He's like, oh, I hate when they do that. You know when they do that? Always ask them, how many people you have? I see, really, you're like, how many do you have? And there's like 3 people there. He's sitting there, he's waiting, he's going out. He's like, but you know, need him for a minyan, for a chiyuv. Finally gets out of there. He's way too late to work. He's on his way to work, and then he finds out that he was working in the World Trade Center, and his office doesn't exist anymore. Now, what happened if he would have told them, I'm out of here, I'm gone? Right? So then he wouldn't be here today. And what happens if they wouldn't have been waiting for more people and more people, and he's frustrated, he's looking at his watch and he's like bugging out. But anytime, now that's easy because there Hashem showed you afterwards, look, it was all for the good. But beforehand, while you're sitting there, the frustration a person has, frustration is not good. Now if a person says, look, I can't wait, and it's a decision, I'm not telling you what, you know, how to be shokel, how to wait, help a person with a minyan, I have a job, whatever. But to say, I'm not staying, that's not a lack of emunah. He has to decide what's right. Is pernosa, okay, everything has to be weighed under certain circumstances. Right? So if a person's waiting outside for a taxi and after a while he's like, okay, forget it, I'm not going to take a taxi, I'll take a bus, or I'll call a taxi, or I just won't go, whatever. None of that is a lack of emunah. A lack of emunah is if you get frustrated standing there because you're saying, my being here, Hashem, is there's something going wrong. Nothing is going wrong. Everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And a person lives emunah doesn't have his frustration.
So how do we have the whole davening? Asking Hashem to change things.
So we got to figure out why we daven. That's what we finished off last time. Why do we daven? That we got to figure out. That we have to figure out. Why is it that we daven? So I guess we'll go with that. But we'll talk about why do we daven. If everything is good, so what are we davening for? So I'd like to suggest as follows. This is a question that's asked. The first one asked this kasha. Listen, Hashem knows what's good for you. What are you davening for? If you have a moon, everything is good. So what are you davening for? So I'd like to suggest the answer based on something that we said on Friday night. We spoke over there. We spoke about the lashon of hishalech lefanai veheyeh samim. We spoke about Avraham Avinu's journey. Why does it say hishalech? It doesn't say lech lefanai. Hishalech is lashon hispoil because it's going to change Avraham Avinu. That's why right afterwards he changed his name. Just like when a person is misvadeh in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it changes who you are. Something that's changing about you. There's another word that uses the letter suf in the beginning of the word. Loshen lehis palel. Lehis palel. The shirish is the word palel. That's the word. Lehis palel. Why is there lehis vados? Lehis halech? His palel. What does his palel mean? The word should be vayipalel. That should be the word. It's actually, you find that word sometimes in Tehillim. What does lehis palel mean? What's the suf there for? The pshat is that you want to know what davening is. What does davening do? Davening changes you. You don't want to change the situation. You want to change you. I'll explain. Let's get back to what Rafal asked before. Rafal says, is the fact that you broke your finger, is that good or bad? It's all good that it happened, but the actual breaking of the finger, is that good or bad? That's bad. I want to give a different mushel. Okay, someone already broke his finger and he's got that cast, or what do they call that? You put a splint on his finger, right? So now, having a splint on your finger, is that good or bad?
Good.
Well, as long as your finger is broken, it's good, right? Now, what happens if your finger is not broken anymore? Is it good to have the splint on your finger?
Yeah.
If your finger's not broken anymore, if you've already finished your physical therapy, then it's no good. Assuming that your finger has totally healed. Some of us, our fingers are not totally healed. But if you're totally healed, then you don't need the splint anymore. Right? What is tefillah? Tefillah is where a person is changing himself to the point where he doesn't need the splint anymore. For sure, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, you got to break your leg now. For whatever reason, you need something that's going to be hard. good, hard. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make me, I want to become a person that doesn't need hard anymore. That's what I'm davening for. I want it. I want to be a person that doesn't need this. I don't need the pain. You're right. The pain is good for me. Because the way I am, if I don't have that pain, it's not going to work. Pain is weakness leaving the body. Great. I understand that. Excellent. So let me be strong and I have no weakness. So it doesn't have to leave my body. So what am I in pain for? So that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is where a person wants to change himself through davening. When a person davens, what happens is Hashem says, okay, you don't need that anymore. I can take that away.
That means, let's say, you have a meat you have to work on, right?
Yeah.
And Hashem tries to send you something bad, send something bad to change you,
there
right?
You go.
And I daven, that means I changed and I don't have to...
No. Well, if you daven properly, then yes.
Right. I'm saying, let's say a broken bone, right? And
right.
That's why you're healed.
Right.
That means that whatever it was is gone. The reason why it happened?
Yeah. Well... That's what we're davening to do. That's what you're davening to do.
The whole davening is just the psychology of trying to...
It's not just the psychology. Davening changes you. What? So let's see. When a person doesn't have parnasa, for example, let's say there's a lot of people out there that money is very, very damaging for them, detrimental. A lot of people, they get a lot of money and it just totally ruins them. Right? It ruins their relationship with their spouse. A lot of people that make money. Why? Because... I'm a successful guy. Don't you talk to me that way. And why do I have to marry to this loser of a woman over here if I'm like, look at me, I'm like big and I'm hot stuff and my wife is just like a schlepper, you know what I mean? I married this schlepper because I was a schlepper. I'm not a schlepper anymore. It ruins his relationship with his wife. It ruins his relationship with his kids. Either because he's way too busy at the office, doesn't have time for his kids at all, or because he's just throwing his kids money instead of actually spending time with them. He used to go to the ball game with his kids, or he used to go for a walk with his kids or whatever. Now he's just going to like, here, go buy yourself something. He doesn't spend time with his kids, or it ruins his kids because his kids are like rich kids, and it's like it's not fun walking around being everyone's like trying to be buddy buddy with you because they think that they're after your money or whatever. It could be money's very bad for him. But if he davens and he connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to see what davening is exactly. We can talk about that now also. The word lehispalel, okay, palel, we'll use the word palel, is actually to intertwine, is to connect. Naftali is the same sherish as the word lehispalel. Is naftal, patal, is lispalel. It's to connect. When you daven, what you're doing is you're trying to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your money's not going to ruin you. And you're not going to let your money like destroy your life. So you daven for parnasa, what you're doing is you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize you're the source of all bracha. I recognize that I'm supposed to use the money for, what the purpose of the money is. And then a person does that, so then he has a different understanding and he enriches himself through his tefillah. He changes himself through his davening, and now he is a person that this money is good for right now. Before, the money was bad for you. Now the money is good for you. So you've changed. What? So how could you ever daven for someone else? That is an excellent question. You hear the kasha? If the whole word of davening is, because I want to make myself willing to, how could I ever daven for someone else? Which is something that I guess is not going to be in the realm of this conversation right now. If you remind me, Daniel, it's an excellent question. You have to understand how that works. It's a very complicated system or web. How do you ever daven for someone else? Well, we'll start it as follows. The idea of davening for someone else only exists if that person's situation really bothers you. In other words, someone comes over to me and says, "You're davening for my sister, she needs a shidduch." Do I care that his sister is looking for a shidduch? That she's sitting at home, she doesn't have a date, and she's getting depressed, and she cries herself to sleep at night? Does that bother me? If it's some random guy's sister, maybe not. I could daven today till tomorrow, nothing will happen.
Same thing by Refuah Shalema?
Same thing by Refuah Shalema. Nothing will happen.
So why do people hang up these signs? I hope you feel bad for them.
A person that's a gadol, we go to gadolim, because any person goes to a gadol, gadol cares. He cares. Does bother him. So therefore, when he davens, he's davening because he wants, this is something that makes a difference to him. Let me say it a little differently. Her pain is his pain. So now what's he davening for? He's davening for her, he's davening for himself.
Good for her because she needs to change.
Great. Yeah. Okay. We'll figure that out. Okay. But her pain is his pain. So he's dying for himself. You never really down for someone else. If you don't care about them at all, so then the tefillah is not going to work. If you don't, mamash, don't give a one flying flip about who that person is. You got someone's name on the wall. You're like, I don't really care about you, guy. You could die. It wouldn't make a difference to me at all. So then. If you don't care, then it doesn't mean anything. So again, if a person cares about Klal Yisrael, you don't have to know who he is. What difference does it make if he's your neighbor and you know who he is and he has brain tumor, or he's another Yid who has a brain tumor? If you think about it for a moment, this person has a brain tumor. That is terrible. That's painful. Think about his family. Just think about it for a moment. You're like, this person's going through terrible pain. That bothers me. This is another Yid. Right? We do care about Yid in all over the world. There's people davening for people in Yerushalayim. They don't have many people in Yerushalayim. They daven in Yerushalayim. It should be peace in Yerushalayim. What do you care? I live in Bar Park. You know, Yerushalayim, God, let them all die. People aren't that way, right? People care a lot about us in Yerushalayim. So we care about Yidin wherever they are. If you don't care, I think davening is just a total waste of time. I might be wrong. Maybe it's like I'm saying a lot. But that's what I think. It's a total waste of time. Because the whole point of davening is because I'm coming from a point where this means something to me. We care about other people. V'haraya, we're spending the time to daven about them. Maybe you say, I don't care that much. But you care enough to put in a prayer. So you care, obviously. So that's the beginning, Daniel. You understand that I'm not davening for him, I'm davening for me. That's just the beginning. Akopanim. What we're saying is as follows. If a person has emuna, then he realizes everything that happens is for the good. He never gets frustrated. A person has emuna, so it's a calm life. He's always calm, cool, and collected. Always that way. A person that has emuna doesn't get enticed by things that he knows he shouldn't be doing. We spoke about that yesterday, about last time, about having the poison in that steak. He's got that mouth-watering steak, but if you know it's poison, then you don't get. It's a different. It could be that it's something that's hard for you to overcome, but he understands it's bad for him. He knows it's wrong, and therefore he has a different type of approach to it. And the third thing I like to speak about is a person that has emuna has a whole different type of marriage. Marriage is a whole different thing. And I'll prove it to you, because Avram Avinu is the one that introduced us to Amuna. Avram Avinu had the most gorgeous marriage ever. Most beautiful marriage in history. I'll just share with you quickly. I might have heard me speak about it. The Gemara that speaks about how that there was one of the Amorim who used to like to go be Mitzayin Kvaris. He used to go to people's kever and used to like mark off for the kever so that Kayanim shouldn't accidentally walk there, whatever it is. So he was in Maaseh Machpelah. He was back in Maaseh Machpelah. He wanted to go into the cave. There's a cave underneath. When we go to Maaseh Machpelah, we're on top. You can actually go in the cave. You want to go in the cave. And Eliezer Eved Avram was standing there, I guess his reincarnation, whatever. He's like, no, you can't come in. He's like, why can't I go in? So because Avram and Sarah are hugging each other, you're not allowed to go in. You can't look. It's private. So I can't walk in while they're hugging each other. So the Amora said, do me a favor. Could you ask Avram if I can come in? I really want to come in. So Eliezer, everyone came in and said, Avram, is it okay if he comes in? You know, he says, yeah, we're dead anyway. So it's like, you know what I mean? Two dead people hugging each other. It's okay. This is the Gemara. What is going on over here? What is John this Gemara? Says the Maharal, I'll explain to you the Pshat. Maharal says when a person dies, his neshama goes back up to Shemayim. His guf is frozen in the position that best defines his character. His guf is frozen in a position that best defines who he is. That's him. So says the Maharal, Avram Avinu was frozen in an embrace with his wife because that defined who he was. Avram Avinu was called an Ish Chesed. You ever heard the saying that charity begins at home. Avraham Avinu had the best relationship possible with his wife. That defined who he was. That's who he was. He was the epitome of Shalom Bayis. Yaakov, I would say, was probably frozen in front of a Gemara, because that defined who he was. Yaakov was called Yishtam Yoshev Ohalem. He was a person who was always sitting there with his shtender. So that's Avraham Avinu. I'm going to tell you. Avraham Avinu has the best marriage on the planet in history. That's why you know that in this week's parasha it speaks about that Sarah said, "My husband's old." You know, she overheard the story, the conversation with the Arabs, and she said, "Achrei Beloy says Eli Edna Vadoni Zokim, my husband's so old. How are we going to have kids?" Because Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu and said, "Why did Sarah say that she's so old?" She didn't say she's so old. She said he's so old. Why did Hashem not say what really happened? Because he's afraid of, like, you know, playing with their shalom bias. So Avraham Avinu has been married to Sarah for like almost like a half of a century, right? She's helped him build his whole life. He's like Mr. Nice Guy. He's the one who himself said about himself, "I'm too old to have kids." And they have the best marriage in history. And Hashem has to like lie or be Mashana, whatever that means, change like around the facts a little bit to make sure that it doesn't affect their Shalom bias. Because the Pasuk is coming to tell you something very important. There's no such thing as a marriage that, like, you know, we don't have to like be careful with. You have to be working on your marriage until the day you die. You have to work on your marriage. You have to be polite and nice and careful and everything, because it always is going to affect your marriage. The most amazing marriage, the most amazing people, the most like insignificant comments. Because Rohan says, no. It just you can't hear that. So Avraham's got the greatest marriage in the world. Why? Because Avraham Avinu is a bechina of Emunah. We're going to talk about it. I got to go.